Welcome to the Divorce Considered, a podcast where we bring clarity to the divorce process so you can move forward informed, steady, and empowered. Today, we're addressing a foundational question. What is actually being divided in a divorce? The answer is the marital estate. And in high net worth cases, it is far more expansive and far more nuanced than most people assume. Yes, it includes retirement accounts, brokerage accounts, stock options, business interests, deferred compensation, and debt. But identifying the assets is not where mistakes are made. Mistakes are made in assuming those assets are economically equivalent. They are not. A $500,000 retirement account is not the same as $500,000 in liquid cash. Retirement assets are pre-tax. Accessing those funds creates income tax liability and, depending on timing, potential penalties. The actual usable value can be significantly lower. Now extend that principle across the estate. A brokerage account is liquid and transparent. Stock options, by contrast, introduce timing risk, exercise strategy, and tax exposure. Their value is conditional, dependent on vesting schedules and market performance. Business interests are even more complex. A company may be valued at several million dollars, but that value may be illiquid, subject to transfer restrictions and dependent on one party's continued involvement. In many cases, what looks substantial on paper cannot be accessed without triggering operational or financial consequences. Deferred compensation adds another layer. These assets often appear precise, but they are contingent, tied to future events, continued employment, or performance benchmarks. There is both timing risk and forfeiture risk. And then there is debt. Not all liabilities are interchangeable. A low-interest mortgage tied to an appreciating asset is fundamentally different from unsecured or high-interest debt. The structure and tax treatment of that debt directly impact its real cost. This is why a strategic divorce requires more than dividing line items. It requires three discipline steps. First, full asset identification, including unvested, deferred, and contingent interests. Second, rigorous valuation, grounded in liquidity, restrictions, and real-world market conditions. Third, tax-adjusted comparison, because after-tax value is the only value that matters in practice. Without that framework, equal on paper can become materially unequal in reality. And that is where most high-asset divorces go wrong, because you're not dividing a static pool of assets. You are separating a single, integrated financial system into two independent ones, each with its own liquidity profile, tax exposure, risk concentration, and long-term growth trajectory. And the quality of that separation determines not just what each party receives, but what each party is actually able to build from it. Remember, clarity creates confidence, and preparation creates peace. Thank you for listening to this podcast by Divorce 32. If this episode helped you, share it with someone who may need it. And join us next time as we continue bringing clarity to the divorce process.